Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. We're going to jump into this year, 2017. It's going to be your best year yet. Amen? Going to be your best year yet. So actually, if you can pull my slides up, I'm going to get going. Going to jump into that. Best year yet. Now, I had one time, we used to do New Year's Eve services. I remember those New Year's Eve services. Then I'd always try to get a word for the year, you know. Going to be lean and mean in 2017. Anyways, I tried that a few times. Then I preached the whole sermon series on failure and how to get over yourself. But that was good. But you know, I've preached, and one Christmas Eve I was preaching, and I said to the fellow, "This is going to be your best year ever." And a guy came up and said, "It's not going to be your best year ever." And I went, "It's not?" And he says, "No, it'll be your best year yet." Because you know what? God always takes you into better and better and better. So you don't want next year to be the best year ever. Because there's more. And you want every year to be better than the year before. And God's a God of increase. So that stuck with me. So I don't say that anymore. Best year ever. I say best year yet. Amen. Last year was a great year. I mean, there were some valleys. There were some highs. There were some lows. But I'll tell you, overall, wow. God's been so faithful to us, such a blessing to us. And I'm just so amazed, and it's just wonderful. My heart's so open to God. The revelation he's poured into my heart, just being a year more mature. You know what I mean? Just learning to, getting one more year mature just opens your heart a little more to understanding yourself and life and everything. And I feel like I'm almost ready to be a pastor. It's so good. But this is going to be my best year yet. It's going to be your best year yet, because God always goes from gooder to gooder and better to better. So I thought it'd be a good place to start with Jay Leno, because Jay Leno's a good place to start. So here's Jay Leno. Here's what Jay says about resolutions. He said, "Now there are more overweight people in America than average weight people. So that means overweight people are now average, which means you have met your New Year's resolution." Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That one, you don't want to be average, though. You don't want to be average, though. That's crazy. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. "He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God." Some translations say in the fear of God, but many ancient texts say the visions of God. He had understanding in the visions of God, the directions of God, the ways of God. So here was the king, and I believe it was Uzziah. And Uzziah, in the days Zechariah was a prophet, and Uzziah, under that prophet, had understanding and vision and revelation. And as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him prosper. You know, even the word this morning was multiplication. The word this morning was, keep your eyes on him and you're going to come out of the boat. Keep your eyes on him and you're going to come into the realm of the impossible, the miracles, the stepping into the incredible things of God. And you know, the word of the Lord is, as long as you seek the Lord, God made him prosper. God, you know, God wants to prosper you. God literally, because we are the family of God, the children of God, the house of God, the body of Christ, God is committed to us being blessed. He is committed to us prospering because he has a royal family. And the royal family should bear the signs of royalty and of dignity and of all that God has. And the royal family, the people of God, should always be walking in the realm of more than enough. You should never let that offend you. It's a part of living in your family. My kids are never offended when I pick up the bill. They're never offended when they call and say, "I need this," and I say, "I got it." They're never offended when I say, "I want to take care of that." They think it's great when you can live in a family where people care and needs can be met and things can happen. Isn't that good? My kids always used to say, "Well, we can't get that right now. I don't have any money." "Well, just go to the ATM. Just get some." And let's get that done right now. You know, God, as long as you seek the Lord, he is committed to bless you, to honor you, and to prosper you. Daniel 1 verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, this is Daniel, was a young man, would have been a young teenage boy, maybe even, you know, a prepubescent boy. But here was a boy who was brought into a land that was an evil land, an evil country, but he decided, I'm going to live out of the values of where I came from. And he purposed in his heart, say purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled, but he would live by the standards by which he was raised. Psalm 20 verse 4 says, may he grant you, God, capital H-E, he, may God grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purposes. You see, there's a place where God says, you will have what you say. I will give you what you said. Because you have what you say. See, what do you purpose in your heart? Because God will grant you according to your heart's desire, and he will fulfill all your purposes. That is either really exciting to you or not so much. Because according to your heart. Your capacity going into this year is really, it's not outside you. It's not on some prophetic website. It's not on, what is God doing this year? I was at a pastor's meeting, and one of the pastors walked in and said, what's next year going to be like? And I went, what do you want it to be like? Well, what did the prophet say? I said, I'm going to prophesy now. God's going to do better and better and more and more. Ooh, where did you read that? I didn't read it. I'm just telling you right now. Thus says the Lord. It's better and better and more. But people walk in already with limited capacity, limited heart space on what God can do according to your heart's desire. What is your heart's desire? It says, whatsoever you desire when you pray. It says, believe that you have it and you will get it. But what is that based on? It's based upon your desire. What do you desire? What do you desire? You say, I can't desire things that depend on other people. I desire my pastor to be better this year. You can't do that because that's a bad goal because that depends on me. So you could have a real sucky year if your pastor doesn't get better, right? When you set up yourself for disappointments, when you have set up other people to be the fulfillment of your dream, don't ever do that. That's a bad goal. What's your desire? What's your desire? And your desire determines the capacity of what this year is going to be like. So we want to stretch your capacity right here on the first day of the new year. We want to enlarge your heart to dream bigger, bigger, better, and to risk more. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good. Is that right, Cheryl? Thank you. All right, 2007. Now, this was a study done in 2007 by Richard Wiseman from the University of Bristol involving 3,000 people. It showed that 88% of those who set New Year resolutions, they fail, despite the fact that 52% of the study participants were confident in the success of their dream at the beginning of the year. So 53% of the people, or 2%, who set that desire up or that resolution, they were confident they were going to get it, but still 88% of those who made those, it says literally, early in the year, within the first several days, the first 5 days, most of them had given up and quit. I think resolutions are kind of silly, most of them, anyways. I mean, make determinations, make purposeful decisions to do something incredible. So New Year resolutions demand willpower. Your brain cells that operate willpower are located in your prefrontal cortex in your brain. So willpower, your prefrontal cortex. How many have one of those? Did you know that your willpower is found in your prefrontal cortex? So if you decide that I'm going to will myself into lean and mean in 2017, that might be a good goal. But you see, that will all begin in your prefrontal cortex. So anything you desire bigger, anything right now, godly stuff, all that stuff, great dreams to do, exploits for God. You know where all of those start? They all start in that prefrontal cortex. So whatever you're saying, we're going to do great things for God. Let's do great things for God. Rah! Well, all of that starts right in your prefrontal cortex. So let's talk a little bit more about that. I got a little quote for you. I got a piece of it on the next slide here, but I'll read the whole thing for you. And this is from Dr. Bubba Shiv. He's not a DJ. He's not even a rapper. He's actually a professor at Stanford University. That's really his name. You can Google it. It's Dr. Bubba Shiv. All right. So here, I'll read you the whole thing, just a bit of it up there. But a group of undergraduate students divided into two groups. One group is given a two-digit number, like 24, 11, 13. Two groups. First group given a two-digit number. The other group was given a seven-digit number, 30,718. So one group given 11, one group given 30,718. How many can remember the five-digit one already? How many forgotten it already? How many are still having a hard time paying attention? But you did pay your tithes, so that's okay. All right. So some given a five, some given a two-digit number, all right? It says what's most surprising, actually, sorry, it was a seven-digit number. So seven-digit, that's even more than the one I gave you. It was only five. A seven-digit number. Oh, my goodness. Then, after a short walk through the hall, they were offered a choice of two snacks. They were offered a choice of chocolate cake or a bowl of fruit. What's most surprising is the students with the seven-digit numbers to remember were twice as likely to pick a slice of chocolate cake as compared with the two-digit students. Now, I don't know what's wrong with that. I mean, that just makes sense to me anyways. You know what I mean? But so they're assuming that choosing the chocolate cake was bad, which I think is just, all those people on the Titanic didn't have dessert later on. They're like, should have had dessert. Now I'm out here freezing, you know? You know what I say? Have the cake. Anyways, their study was having the cake was bad. So the reason this happens, according to Bubba Shiv, Professor Bubba Shiv, he said it's very obvious. Those extra numbers took up valuable space in the brain. They were a cognitive load, making it much harder to resist a decadent dessert. So your prefrontal cortex that handles your willpower is like a muscle. It needs to be trained. If you decide to train that muscle at the start of the new year with a resolution to quit smoking, to start going to the gym, to lose weight, or the equivalent, you know, of those things, he said it's like trying to lift a 300-pound barbell without any previous training. It's no surprise that your brain can't do the heavy lifting. Your brain literally has to be trained to step into that. You know, there's where a lot of people make these massive faith declarations, all that stuff. But, you know, a lot of that means that whatever you said, you got to back up now with some training. You got to train your brain to embrace what you just decided you're going to accomplish. You make your way prosperous. Oh, that's when I came to God. Wouldn't he just do it all? He's done it all as far as sanctification and all that, but maturity is a journey you got to step into. He did it all. He's provided it all. But just like he said, don't be slack. Take your inheritance. So you got the whole inheritance, but some people are just like, well, can't you get it for me? I did get it for you, but you've got to take it. So it's the same with a really wonderful life. A blessed life. It's all finished in God. It's all complete in him, but you've got to take it. And God wants you to mature. He wants you to develop. You see, your sanctification, you cannot increase. Your relationship with him, your closest to him, you really can't increase. But you do need to mature. And you can grow in the grace that you're living in right now. Can I get an amen? So I'm saying this to you right at the new year because I want this year to be the best year yet for you. The best year yet. That means it needs to be trained. So put your hand on your brain, your frontal cortex, and say, I'm going to train you this year. I'm not going to keep on trying to lift these barbells without training you. So this year, you're going to get trained. This year, I'm going to read some Caroline Leaf. I'm going to get my brain in place, going to get it done. I'm going to straighten things up in here. We're going to clear out the cobwebs. We're going to live right, live free, live boldly with confidence. Amen. Ha ha. Woo. All right, Bubba, say Bubba Shiv. Thank you, Bubba Shiv. All right, so I'm going to give you quick just three directives. Three directives for 2017. You ready? Number one, be planted. Number two, live intentionally. And number three, display confidence. Number one, be planted. Number two, live intentionally. And number three, display confidence. Let's go to number one, be planted. You ready? Be planted. Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. That's a really good promise right there. Those who are planted in not those who drop in, not those who kind of visit, not those who are once in a while, not those who kind of, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, for they shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. That's a good word, Pastor. Be planted. If you're going to have a great year, first thing is, it's very simple. You got to plant yourself. Plant yourself in the house of God. Plant yourself in some really good relationships. Plant yourself in a small group. You know, this year I'm gonna make small groups a priority. I'm gonna plant not just for me, but so that out of me can flow things for other people. Because if you're not flowing out to others and doing the one another stuff really well, eventually you'll become a cistern where the water starts to stink because there's no flow. So it's a river in your belly, it's not a cistern. So you got a responsibility and a command to all those one another's in the new covenant to be a blessing to other people, because it's not all about you. But here's the wonderful thing. If you refresh others, you get refreshed. Amen? How many had no place to go last night? Nobody invited you out. You're just miserable, sat by yourself watching the ball come down on the TV. That was me and Cheryl. We had Dylan. We went to Tony Roma's. That was good, because somebody in the congregation gave me a gift certificate. I was like, wow, that's so awesome. And then I went home, went to bed. So I'm getting a little older. Amen? You see? But he would have friends must first show themselves friendly. Like, you know, there's some things you need to do. So we need to get this frontal cortex done. One of the things they'll do is get planted. Being planted in the house of God, being planted in significant relationships. Doesn't have to be significant relationships in this house. I mean, you can have significant relationships. You got family. You got all kinds of things. They're wonderful. Be planted intentionally in those incredible relationships. And I tell you, there's a promise from God that you're going to flourish. Say amen, Pastor. That was good. Let me give you a little picture. You ready? Here's a picture. Look at that. See? How many remember that when you were in grade school? You remember that? Remember when, you know, I messed that up all the time because I kept on wanting to know what's going on with that beam. Because I put it there and they said, leave it alone, Carly. I'd go in every day going, it's still there. But I'd tear it all up. I'd mess it all up. And mine never grew because I kept on trying to find out what's going on in there. I kept on unsettling it, pulling it out, going, what's going on with my beam? Kids who left it alone, kids who let it be planted, kids who let it sit there, kids who rested and trusted and believing in the experience, believing in what's going to happen, they got rooted, fruited, shooted. And that's what's got to go on. That's got to happen. Let me say this to you. Ready? I think, give me the next slide. John 15, 5 and 8, look what it says. He abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Get it pushed down, abide, let it remain. Bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Woo! Wow, that's hardcore, isn't it? You know, when you abide in him and you rest in him and you settle yourself in him, that's where it all happens. But my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So being fruitful, really fruitful, much fruit is glorifying God. Amen? Say, I'm going to be fruitful this year. Well, fruitfulness comes from that willingness to abide. You have to go down to go up. You have to be hidden and you have to remain. And you got to be willing to embrace that process. All right? Say, embrace that. Talk to your head right now. Say, stop disobeying me. All right. Do as I tell you. Smarten up there. All right. Listen, next slide says, you can know God without community, and you can get to heaven without community, but you can't get mature or manifest God's fullness. You can know God without community. You can get to heaven without community, but believe it or not, you'll be in a community when you get there. And you can't mature or manifest God's fullness without relationships. Yes, I can. You can't fulfill the one beautiful, wonderful command without relationships. Love one another as I have loved you. You can't do that if you're not in significant community. And if you're not in community where you're loving people and you're so in love with them that you're risking everything, opening your heart up to everything, if you're not in those kind of relationships, you can't be the love like God had, where you literally are so vulnerable, you're risking everything, you're willing in every single way, you've given yourself completely to a situation without conditions. You can't experience that kind of love. You can't manifest the God kind of love. You can't mature to that place because it's all about love. You can't really become completely like him if you're not in situations where you're in relationships that cost you everything. Cost you everything. Relationships. It's not going to cost you anything with God because God's full out all the time. He's going to give you anyway. But when you get into those relationships, that's when you really get mature and grow up. Amen. Aren't you loving that? See, that's why I left the small group, though, Pastor, because people annoyed me. That's why I left that relationship. I mean, how many wanted to relieve some relationships over Christmas? But you see, right there is that big, massive challenge right there that were you in this to completely, fully, totally give? Or did you still have expectations of others to make you happy? Anyways, thank you, Madeline. That's why Madeline's like my favorite Madeline ever. Luke 22, 31. Simon, stay on your toes. Stay on your toes, because Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, and I've prayed for you in particular. Isn't that amazing? See, the devil wants to peel you away. He wants to isolate you. He wants to make up conversations and put them in your head that never even existed. He wants to try and mess with the things that you need to embrace. Would you make a commitment in your, train your cerebral cortex, just press in there right now, that I make a commitment that being planted is important. Being in relationship is important for me to be everything God wants me to be. You can't say I want this to be the best year yet, but I don't. I want to. My mom said, you will the ends, but you don't will the means. My mom always said that to me. You will the ends, you want the results, but you're unwilling to will the means. Community, say community. Community. Say small groups. Yes. Yeah. Best year yet. All right, good, good, fantastic. All right, let's move on, because Pastor, this is New Year's Day. I'm giving you my New Year's Day. Smart enough. My wife's looking at me. She's clapping her hands. She's saying, okay, number two, live intentionally. Live intentionally. Oh, my goodness, live intentionally. The first verses I read to you about purpose. They purposed in their hearts. Daniel purposed in his heart. When you give, you purpose in your heart. Purpose. Do everything you do on purpose. God does everything he does on purpose. There's a reason for this. And you shouldn't live your life randomly. What am I going to do today? What's this year going to be like? Is this year going to be a good year? I purpose this year is going to be a great year. I purpose in my heart to embrace everything that God has for me this year. He crowns the year with his favor and with his bounty. Every day his mercies are new. Every morning, daily, he loads me with benefits. Well, what kind of year will we have then? What do you think? Sounds pretty good to me. The forecast is blue skies. Hey, hey, hey. Jesus lived intentionally. Luke 2, 49. I must be about my Father's business. I must. Luke 4, 43. I must preach the kingdom. Give me another slide. Luke 19, 5. I must stay in your house. I love that. He goes down to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, get down here from that tree. I must stay in your house today. I got to come to your house for lunch. I'm on this road today because I must meet you. I must go to you. I must go to your home. He lived his life absolutely, totally, intentionally. Don't wake up going, oh, what day is it? Although it was a bit hard over this holiday to figure out what day it was half the time. I was like, what day is it? I'm so messed up, you know? I've lived my life by Sundays. It seemed to, you know, we didn't have a Sunday last week. I was in a crisis. I mean, it was unbelievable. I woke up Sunday and said, we're not doing church? What? This is crazy. You must live intentionally. Jesus said, I need to. I must go through Samaria. John 9, 4. I must work the works of him who sent me. You've got to be aware of what's going on in your world. You've got to live intentionally every day with Jesus. It was never someday. We almost fed the 5,000. You mean there's another 1,000 back there didn't get fed? Hey, well, that was a pretty close miracle. Hey, we almost got them all. Well, let's celebrate that we almost fed the 5,000. Amen. Let's read about the miracle of the almost 5,000. There was 5,000 hungry people, and Jesus got 4,000 fed, and 1,000 threw a riot, freaked out, and went to McDonald's and broke all the windows. But hey, 4,000 got fed, still a good story. There's no almost with Jesus. There's no, I did it partly. Well, I did some of it. Well, I got there most of the time. You know why you only get there most of the time? Because your little frontal lobe here is not fully matured and can't lift the 300-pound barbell because you haven't trained it to get with the program. Can't you just lay your hands on me and command the year to be great? Yeah, I could do all of that. Bam, and power will come upon you. But then when you walk out the door, this has to line up with that. Best stinking New Year's sermon I ever heard. It was never someday. It was never I almost did. It was never that. It was purposeful. It was intentional. He never missed an appointment. He never missed a moment. He did every single detail, everything that the Father desired to do. He didn't miss anything. When he said, God, I've done it all. I'm finished. When he prayed, everything you gave me to do, I have done. Wow. That's an efficient life right there. Hey, that means Jesus, who walked in the same boundaries you did, was human just like you, got that whole humanness hooked up with the divine and walked in perfect harmony. Hey, you can too, not someday, but right now. You can operate in that because you got the mind of Christ. Give me another slide just because we can. 1 Corinthians 13, 16, 13 and 14. Watch, say watch. That's be alert and amplified. Be alert. Saw a guy with a t-shirt said, be alert. The world needs more alerts. Get it? Be alert. Be. Okay, anyways, never mind. Okay. Be alert. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Oh my God. How many had that verse just kind of cut you right there? Oh my goodness. Stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. Let almost everything, most of the time, be done in love. I almost am a pretty awesome person. I'm almost like you, Jesus. Let all that you do be done in love. The message says, keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions. A lot of people, their convictions, their feet are firmly planted in midair. Their convictions go with whoever they talked to last, whatever the book they read last, whatever blah, 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 whoever preacher they listened to last. This is what I believe now. This is what I believe now. What do you believe? What are your convictions? A lot of people don't have any life convictions. Therefore, you bounce around by every wind of dogma. That's not falsehood. It's every wind of truth. People get bounced around. It's not a falsehood, but you got bounced by another truth. Winds of dogma. And you go to extremes on every truth. There's no balance. There's no conviction in who you are as a person. And you can get easily knocked off because it's not an error that knocked you off. It was a truth. It's a wind of doctrine. And that's what happens when you're immature and you don't have firm, established convictions in a trained frontal lobe. Thank you, Pastor. That was good. Hold tight to your convictions. Give it all you've got. Be resolute and love without stopping. Love without stopping. Say amen. Many are alive, but few are conscious. Many are alive, but few are conscious. Many are alive, but you run into people, they got a pulse, they're breathing, they're walking around. Many are alive, but few are conscious. Many people are slaves and victims to their surroundings, their circumstances, whatever's happening. I was in a fit all this whole season. I wanted to see Frankie every day. And other people are in Frankie's world. And other people visiting, and I'm like, hey, where's my granddaughter? Oh, well, I'm visiting with some family over here. I'm family. Well, we were over there that day, and this day I go, yeah, I don't share very good. I hate sharing. I tell you, God had to help me from a meltdown. I was just like, my God, I might as well go to the church and work. I should do something with my life thing. But I was totally messed. You can totally get emotionally messed up by circumstance, by your job, by family. I mean, people walk into church on Sunday, I'm trying to preach, and your head is totally wrapped up in conflict, frustration. This, I got to go back to work tomorrow. Oh, my God. I got to see this person again. And I'm trying to help you with victory, best year yet, and you're not even paying attention because you're so stuck. Many are alive, but few are conscious. Consciousness means you're alert and you're awake. You're not sleeping. You're not comatose. You're aware of your surroundings, your own thoughts, and your own motivations, etc. You're aware of yourself. You're aware of who you are. You're aware of what's going on. Can I get an amen? That was good, Pastor. Thank you. Man, Pastor, this is really, I don't know, man. Let's get into some glory and some amazing stuff, some visions and dreams. This is it. This is it right here. This is it. All right. Okay, number three, and there's only three, so that was good. Display confidence. We could go off on this one for a long time, and I love confidence. There's so much about confidence. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence. That's a great verse right there. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Yes, Lord. The Lord will be your confidence and he will keep your foot from being caught. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man, it brings a snare, but whoever leans on and trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord is safe and set on high. You don't have to fear a thing going into this year. You don't have to worry about a single thing this year. But you know what? You can put your confidence in the Lord. And when you do that, it says the Lord causes you to be safe and he sets you on high. How many want to be set on high? You know, it's all about confidence. Display confidence. Give me another slide there. Display confidence. Confidence. Confidence means it's a compound word with faith, with belief, full trust, full belief, full assurance, with boldness. It's the word parousia, parousia, and it means all and to pour forth and to utter, to boldly and freely speak. To say, to speak, all and to pour forth or to utter, to boldly and freely speak. You should be displaying confidence. I mean, just a couple verses. You ready? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. How big of a deal is that? Honest to goodness. I mean, how many of the situations in your life are totally solved by that one revelation? Greater is he that's in me than whatever is trying to come against me. Here, I'll give you one more. You ready? Real easy stuff. If God before me, which is a rhetorical question, the answer is he's for you. And he's not for you because you've been a good boy. He's not for you because, you know, I'm for you when you're for me. No, he's for you. God is for you. He'll never relax his grip on you. And if God is for you, which he is, then who, what could be against you? I mean, read Romans chapter 8 at the end. What can separate you from the love of God? What? I mean, what? There is nothing created, not created, above, below, anything, ever, height, depth, there's nothing can separate you from the love of God. Hebrews 10:35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Great little chapter right there. You read that because confidence comes from illumination. It comes from knowing him and what you know and all. But it says when you get that confidence, it says that confidence has incredible reward. All right, let's go through the three things one more time. You ready? Here they are. Three directives. These are three things. Honestly, if you'll do them in your personal life, we do them as a fellowship together, we're going to train that little lobe up there and we start to lift. We'll start to lift incredible dreams. We'll start to lift incredible desires. We'll start to lift those things that year after year we've been resolved to do, but they never happened. You can start to do them this year. If we just take these three things, be planted. Say, be planted. Turn to your neighbor with your pointy finger. Say, be planted. In the name of Jesus, that might be a word for you this year. Your breakthrough is in the planting right now. Number two, live intentionally. Live intentionally. Wake up every day with a purpose. Wake up every day with a plan. Don't get up and go, ugh, what are we going to do today? Know what's going on. Know what you're doing. Know what you want to read in the Bible. Know what you're praying about. Know who you're praying for. Know what's going on. Know what you want to achieve in the Spirit. Know it and do it intentionally. And number three, you are set up for incredible success. God is with you. If you seek him, you put him first, he will make your way prosper. He's committed to you. And if you got a revelation of that, a revelation, that's better than a revelation. It's a revelation. If you have a revelation of that, you should display confidence. And that confidence will bring you into the place where you live in the realm where you belong. Constant breakthrough. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. We're committed to that right now in Jesus' name. Pastor Cheryl, going to help us with communion, all right?
Yeah. Best year yet.
Amen. So I'm not one of those 88% who fail with New Year's resolutions because I actually never make them. Maybe I'm a bit of a pragmatist or whatever, realist, but I've just realized over life that actually if you try and make big resolutions at New Year's, it's just really, it's overrated.
That's a fear of failure.
No, that's just overrated. Because you know what I don't think about one time in the year as a new beginning or a day to start something new. But I look at every single year or every single day as a new beginning. Because the Bible tells me that His mercies are new every single day. So I could have had a horrible day yesterday, but tomorrow or the next day when I wake up, today's a brand new day for God to show His mercies and His grace to me. Amen? So I don't get hung up on this one year or one day thing. I have trained my prefrontal cortex to believe that God is good to me every single day, and that every single day His mercies are new to me, and every single day His grace is made available to me, which means I can be planted, I can live intentionally, and I can be confident in the fact that because Jesus made a new and living way, I can live in a new and living mindset. Amen? You know, I was thinking about that scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, Paul said this. He says, not that I've already attained this ideal or I've already laid hold of it to make it my own, that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me and made me His own. I do not consider, brethren, that I've captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies and straining forward to what lies ahead. You know, sometimes there's things that you need to leave behind. Sometimes it's really garbage things that happened in your life. And sometimes it's even important to leave the successes behind. Not that you lose the value and the learning that has been imparted to you through success or failure. But you know, sometimes we can rest on our laurels and rest on our previous successes. And so when you're thinking about this year, leave the garbage behind. Remember the garbage, remember the success, but don't stay there. Live intentionally every single day, you know? And Paul said, I press toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize which Christ is calling me upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make it clear to you. Only let us hold to what is true, what we've already attained and walked in that and order our lives by that. Whatever truth you have learned in life, whatever new truth you've learned through the year, whether it came through failure or it came through success, don't let that go. Let it be something that helps you to live intentionally in the new year coming forward. Amen? And so let's leave 2016 behind, but let's believe God for this being our best year yet. Amen? Because He's got new mercies every single day available for you. Amen? The elders are going to come help serve if you want to come forward. I love the whole idea of training your mind intentionally. Love that. You can train your mind that God is good, that God is compassionate, that He's good intentions for you, that He's the healer, that He makes all things new. Amen?
Thou, O Lord, art
seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down because it is a trustworthy saying. Amen. It is a trustworthy saying. God makes everything new. Not only did he make it new 2,000 years ago when he died for us, but he makes every single day new for us. Amen. So we don't have to wait for a New Year's resolution to get our stuff together. We can have a new day and a new fresh start every single day. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me a new and living way and granting me access to grace and mercy every single day. Thank you, God, that the blood speaks a better word over us. Amen. Let's drink. Amen. Well, we're going to love you and bless you. Have a really fantastic day celebrating New Year's Day, however you celebrate it. I'll be on the couch watching football, I'm sure. But be planted, be intentional, and be confident this year, amen? God loves you. He has good things and good intentions towards you. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen.